Well, yesterday I had a real blessing because I usually go to visit my mom on Saturday mornings, and on her kitchen table, she, over the last couple months, she's had some chocolate macaroons sitting on the kitchen table, and so every Saturday morning I was snitching one. And so yesterday she gives me this big package. It's a red paper with this big red bow on it, and I was like, wow, I love presents. So I'm opening the present, and inside it says, it's a picture of Cookie Monster, and it says, "Me love to share cookies with you. Be my Valentine." And it's a whole box of chocolate macaroons. So I was thinking about that. I was thinking, well, I wanted to ask you to be my Valentine and share cookies with you today, because the greatest cookie that I could think of is to share God's Word. So it is a really kind of a special day to think about how we love each other so much. But, you know, we're kind of a lovey bunch around here, so we basically celebrate Valentine's Day every day of the year. Well, I want you to turn to Galatians chapter 6. And what I want to talk about today is a subject that I think will be a blessing for everyone. And you have a paper down underneath your chair, which is an outline of what I'm going to share. And then on the back of it is a song that I'm going to play at the very end. And if you don't have a paper, there's maybe a few extra ones under some of the chairs, so pass them out or share with each other, okay? Let's read Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 first. It says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Now, we've been talking about the renewed mind some this last month, and putting on Christ, how the new creation inside is not a remodeled version. It's a brand new creation in Christ. And last week, Vicki did a wonderful sharing about the how and why of the renewed mind, how we need to put God's thoughts on in our minds. And I was thinking about that, and I was thinking, okay, if we put God's thoughts on in our minds, then that goes down into the heart, all right, and then it should issue in some action. That the action follows your thinking, right? Well, this verse, "Let us not be weary in well-doing," is an encouragement, obviously, right, to us. And that in due season we will reap if we faint not. Well, I don't know about you, but what happens when we're confronted with difficult situations is the temptation is there to faint not, to faint, right? To just, "I'm sick of this, nothing ever happens." Those kind of words even start coming out of our mouths. So what I want to share today are six keys that I saw by studying some different words: long-suffering, fainting not, don't be weary, those kind of words. And their action, there are things that we can do to have our actions line up with our thoughts. And I think you'll be blessed to see these. So go to James chapter 5. Some of the things I wrote on the paper was because I wanted to read it from my translation. And then since not everybody has one here, you can read along on the paper. So James chapter 5. This is verse 7. And so this is from the Aramaic Peshitta translation. "But you, my brothers, be long-suffering until the coming of the Lord, as the farmer who waits for the precious fruit of his ground and is long-suffering about it until he receives the early and latter rain. So also be long-suffering and establish your hearts, for the coming of our Lord draws close." It says long-suffering in there three times. And the Aramaic word for long-suffering literally means long of spirit or long of face. And in the Old Testament, it's actually in the Hebrew log of face. Think about your face getting long. Long. It's a long face. In other words, you're patient day after day after day after day. Even the word long-suffering in the English is, you get the implication like it's something bad, right? But it's not. Suffering just means emotion or your spirit, the spirit of man inside of you, where you determine something and you just do it long, 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 however long it takes. So this verse is showing us that actually our lives as believers is like a harvest where the farmer, he has to plow the ground, right? He has to put the seed in, and then he has to wait for the rain to come. And in the east, there was an early and a latter rain. But did he make the fruit come out of the ground? No, he is waiting for it to come, right? It didn't mean that he didn't do any action along the way. Sometimes you have to weed some things. You know, we've taught some really neat teachings about, you know, things about planting and harvesting and pulling out the weeds in your life and things like that. But basically, I just wanted us to see that there's a time period here where you wait for the harvest, and even the waiting part of it is not without action. So let's see how, look at the end of that verse too. It says, be long-suffering, so long, 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 and establish your heart. So that's what I want to talk about, is how do we establish our heart and set our face? So the first key is to pray, which it's really so wonderful how God always works together, because Jeannie basically shared this point. She said, you know, that we should speak in tongues, and that email was all about encouraging us to speak in tongues. But let's look at the verse in Luke 18:1. And he also spoke to them a parable that at all times, how often? How often? Okay, yeah. They should pray and not be weary. So God knows that if we pray and we first, every time we're in any situation, just start praying. That's the very, very first thing. That whole parable goes on to tell about the widow woman who went to the judge and petitioned him over and over again, and he finally granted her petition. And the comparison is not that God, you know, takes forever to answer our prayers. It's for us to be persistent. So it's being persistent in prayer, not just speak in tongues for 2 seconds over here and, oh, I'm done now, and then go on our merry way. And so look at Romans chapter 8, verse 26. This is one of the things that speaking in tongues does. It says, so also the Spirit aids our weakness, or our infirmity is what King James says, right? It aids our weakness, for we do not know what is right to pray for. But the Spirit prays on our behalf with groans that are not describable. And if you've ever spoken in tongues out loud for a longer period of time, it's amazing how your tongue starts developing and changing. And sometimes it is almost like groaning. And it is even possible to have the tongue change depending on the situation of what you're praying for. But it's about how, okay, we are human beings, and the temptation to be weary and to faint is real. It's something that we each go through every day. And so what do we do about it? First, pray, all right? And then know that in that infirmity, in the weakness of our flesh, of our physical being, where we often don't have enough strength or don't have the courage we want to have, or we don't know the answer about some particular situation, pray. Because the Spirit, that speaking in tongues and what God does in the middle of that will help our infirmity. So we're going to see a little bit more how this all develops. But basically, it's when we pray, it gets our minds off of the problem. So it you could basically also say this first key was, don't stew about the problem, pray. All right? Number two, I call it washing. Now look at, you can turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And we're going to start reading in verse 15. 2 Corinthians 4, 15. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not. Oh, all right. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are what? Seen. But at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. That's just a really beautiful passage. But I wanted to go back to verse 16 and just look at that. Though our outward man perish, it seems every day it is perishing, right? And, you know, when you start getting into the 60s club, like Kathy joined this week and some of us are approaching, there is the physical strength is not there as much as it was. And even though we're older, I know that even with among you that are younger, you know, you get to the end of the day and go, oh, all right. There's a weariness that is just part of our lives. So this is the second thing to do about it, is that the inward man can be renewed day by day. Now, that's not talking about the Christ in you, because that's perfect and it doesn't need renewing, right? But the inward man of our soul does need to be renewed. And it needs to be washed, I call it. So go back up to the first verse of chapter 4 there. It says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Part of not fainting is to know that you can start each day afresh with your sins washed away. Now look at Titus chapter 3. And this is probably one of the most important things, to not get burdened down and stay burdened down, is to ask God for forgiveness of sins, for every small thing, everything that you don't even know you did, to wash you clean and renew the inside, your personal life, to have it be renewed every day. Titus chapter 3, verse 5, I'll read the Aramaic translation. It says, not by works of justification that we did, but by his own mercies. There's the mercy part again. Now, mercy is to relieve the miserable. Well, I don't know about you, but if you're weary, you get pretty miserable, right? And also, there, mercy can be translated like a deliberate withholding of judgment. Well, when we sin, no matter what it is, then there's a judgment that occurs. And unless it's washed, then it stays there. And you just start piling. You pile some more, pile some more, pile some more. And then we wonder, after a week, 10 days, whatever, how come I feel so burdened down? What is going on? Well, we forgot to wash. And I was thinking, because I just got a brand new washer and dryer, first time in a very long while, and I was so excited about it. It has all these little gadgets on it, you know, and I was figuring out how to do it, and Glenn goes, you know, have you read the manual? I was like, No. You just play with the buttons, right? Anyway, forgiveness of sins is like washing clothes. And God has the wash machine. God has this really fabulous washing machine where every day we can have our inside man washed. And the cool part is that it doesn't wear out either. You know, it's like it's brand new. And mercy is like the soap. See? You put the soap in because it's God's mercy every day, right? His mercies are new every morning. Well, we can wake up and start fresh every single day. I saw this Tide commercial that was on YouTube, and it was, the title of it was called Busted. And there was barbecue sauce that got dumped on this tablecloth, and you know, throw it in the wash machine and it comes all spanking brand new. I don't know about you, but if you spilled barbecue sauce on a tablecloth, it's not going to come out, right? But the slogan on the Tide commercial was, stains out, no doubt. And that's what God does for us. Isn't that amazing? I mean, when we got born again, our sins were forgiven, and we all know that part, but sometimes I think we forget about the daily washing. All right, because it's every day that there is a washing, and that's what it's talking about, see, by the renewing of the Holy Spirit. So the third key now is that we should seek an answer, but know that the deliverance is coming. And I wanted to read Luke chapter 4. One of the biggest temptations when we get weary is to try to figure it all out ourselves. I'm going to be strong. I can figure this out. I'll just keep on pressing on, right? You know, and then the more pressure that we put on ourselves to figure it out, the more weary we get. So it backfires. But one of the temptations that Jesus had in the wilderness, this one was the first one, was the devil came to him. Luke chapter 4 and verse 3 says, and the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. See, the temptation was two things. The question was, if you are a son of God, if, and that's exactly what happens when we are in those weary situations. What good is it for you to be a believer? Look, you're wiped out. You can't figure this out. You don't have the answer. You don't know what you're doing. Right? If you are the Son of God, turn these stones to be bread. And that was the second part of the temptation is, okay, so you know you're a son of God. Just do it yourself. Do it without God. Figure it out yourself. You're smart enough. You have enough faith. Right? But that's not what's supposed to happen. So Jesus' answer to him was, verse 4, and Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the Aramaic says, in Luke, it says, it is written, man should not live by bread alone, but by every answer of God. And even the Greek word here for word is not like the general written word. It's a very specific word for a specific situation. Man shall not live by bread alone, not by physical things, and certainly not by our own strength or our own power are we ever going to get anywhere. But we will be able to seek God so that he gives us the specific answer for every situation. Every single one. Every single one. And in Matthew, you know, the verse says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Well, that's also part of what we have been talking about this morning, is that, you know, God wants to fellowship with us. He said that in the manifestations like three times. come to me, talk to me. I care about everything in your life. I want to commune with you and have you commune with me. And it's in that fellowship and in that relationship that we have with God as our Heavenly Father that we find those specific answers that we need. And it comes out of the mouth of God. See, it proceeds from the mouth of God to your ear. Right? Okay. And he's not withholding anything. I was thinking about different situations that are very wearying, and I've known about some challenges that people have had in their workplace lately where, you know, you're dealing with a fellow employee who's not very helpful, or any a number of situations that can happen right in our workplace, because we're dealing with all sorts of situations, and sometimes those are the most wearying because you're in them day after day. You can't get away and go, oh, well, today I don't feel like going to work, you know, dealing with that person, right? Well, I had a situation a long time ago. Right now my job is really wonderful, but when I lived in Tennessee, I worked for an auto parts warehouse distributor. And I worked for the general manager, and he really liked me, but there wasn't anybody in that place who did like me. And I guess they kind of, I don't know, there was probably some jealousy or something involved with it. But anyway, there were some really curious things going on. And the longer I worked there, the more I was aware that there was something that was wrong about some of the things with the inventory. And so I started really investigating it and asking a lot of questions. And there was one girl there who was just very specifically always saying words against me and different things like that. And she happened to be the one who was in charge of all the computer printouts and the control of the inventory. So one day, she was gone to lunch or something like that. I went to her desk, and I just happened to see that there was this big old pile of papers on the floor down underneath her desk. And I went, wow. Well, that was the days when computer printouts came in those big things with the... Okay, so you see how long ago that was, right? Anyway, I saw this big pile of papers, and I just thought, oh, well, I guess I'll go see what that is. And come to find out that her desk was always really neat and clean, but she had not put in the inventory changes for the last 6 months. And that's the reason everything was a mess. And here, you know, she was protecting her job, so to speak, right? Well, anyway, as it all turned out, just by God showing me that specific thing, the general manager found out, the vice president found out, and actually, I got fired. Not the girl. But in the end, it changed the entire company, and God had another answer for me, because that was the time where, had I stayed in Tennessee and gotten really involved with this company, I never would have gone to Ohio to work in the research department and really developed all the study in Aramaic. So that, you know, you see how God has answers for us. They're not necessarily the one that we wanted, you know, because I wanted that job, and I wanted the recognition, and I didn't get it in that specific thing, but I did get the answer that God wanted for me. And I know this happens over and over and over again, you know, to us when we just seek and listen for that word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So the fourth key is to boast in infirmities. And let's read the Aramaic of 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. It says, "And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in weakness. Therefore I will gladly boast in my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ will rest on me.'" And you think, boast in weaknesses? What is that? And again, the King James says, boast in your infirmities, right? Well, when you think about boasting, you're not normally thinking about, wow, I really have a problem. You know, like that's something I want to get up here and talk about how I have this really serious problem, right? Or a weakness in my life. We hide our weaknesses normally, right? Do you agree? I do. I want everybody to think that I have it all together all the time. But it's not true. And so part of not being weary, see, you pray, you are, we'll go back over them here a second. You pray, you speak in tongues, you make sure that your sins are forgiven and get washed, right? And seek the answer, seek what God's answer is. But then sometimes it gets to the place where you need to just speak out, look, I have a need. And to our fellow believers in the body, if we reach out to each other, we first say it to God, right? But then we can say it to each other too. And I go to Bob and Jeannie, I go to Barney and Vicky, I go to people that I trust, and I share that I have a need. I'm feeling weary. I'm really discouraged. Help! You know? And then they speak the word to me, and they give me God's promises. And because I'm boasting in my infirmity, then it allows God to provide the thing that will strengthen me in that moment. It's so wonderful how it works. And, of course, that whole passage in 2 Corinthians 12 was talking about where Paul said he had, you know, a thorn in the flesh that he couldn't get rid of. And so that God told him, but my grace is going to be sufficient for you. And when you're weak and when you have a need, that's when you actually get strong because you rely on me then. And we can rely on each other too. Now, I don't know about you, but I've never spent 3 days in the deep or been stoned or beaten or any of the things that Paul went through. And so my thing that I'm looking at that's causing me to be weary is nowhere close to that, nor all the things that Jesus Christ went through on the cross for us. We haven't even come close to those kind of temptations. That doesn't mean that they're not real. They're just as real, because when we're weary and when we really are so tired to the place where you don't want to go on, then what should we do? See? It's not enough to just say, renew your mind. You see? It's not enough. Because what are you going to renew your mind to? And what are you supposed to do with your mind to get it to the place where you can have that grace be poured out, where the grace is there to be sufficient for us, and it turns the weakness to strength. And that's what God does. Every single time, grace gets poured out. So I wanted to share a weakness that I really seek your prayers about. We have a commercial building in New Mexico that we've had ever since we moved there, which is almost 3 years now. And it's not sold yet. And it would be a huge blessing for it to sell. Now, I've been through this process about this building. I don't know how many times, you know, pray, yes, ask God to forgive me, you know, all the different things to seek the answer. And truly, God has provided a wonderful way for us to have a tenant in there, and they're leasing the building, and so it's not a burden to us anymore. But it still is a need for it to be sold. And I don't know why it isn't. And so that's one of the things where a weakness doesn't have to be, you know, a big sin or something. It's just like you have a need. Well, we have a need, and I seek and ask for your prayers for it, that there would be an outpouring of grace on the situation. And so that's just a small example of how we can help each other in many different situations. The next key is to rest. So when you ask someone to help and they give you the word, then what are you supposed to do? No, I hate that answer. I don't want to do that. Well, turn to Isaiah chapter 40. I would just love this topic because I was thinking how real it is and how I do it all the time. I have all these different little questions that come up. So here, chapter 40, verse 28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not? Oh, great. He doesn't faint, but I still do. But he says, don't you know that he faints not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He gives power to the faint. Because he is not ever fainting, he's never weary, ever, then he can give that power to us. And when we rest in him, then it's like you go, oh, okay, he's the one who's strong. Because even our friends, our loved ones, our spouses, our sweethearts, our whatever, are sometimes faint too, you know, right? We can't rely on each other. We have to rely on God and know that in him, he's the one who's never weary. He's the one who always has the answer. He giveth power to the faint, verse 29. And to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Well, if they're going to be weary, then what about us older guys? But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Again, see, it's like a renewing, right? A washing, a renewing on the inside. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. The waiting part, again, is not a state of inactivity where we do nothing. The word wait actually means expect. There's an expectation to waiting. And it's like that harvest, you know, you plow, you put the seed in, you weed, you do all these things, but then you have to wait. There's an expectation that if you do all those things, there's going to be fruit that will come out of the ground. Now it says that you should mount up with wings as eagles, and we've learned in the past that that's talking about as an eagle gets older, he'll fly really high, and the old feathers, and then when he goes down into the water, the feathers fall off, and he gets new feathers. But I think really this whole picture here is you should look at the word mount up, because it's talking about mounting up, running, and walking. And an eagle, when, just think about picturing an eagle when it takes off from being pretty low close to the ground and just goes soaring or way up into the sky. One of the huge, the eagle has a very, very large wingspan, right? And if you look at his wings as he's soaring, it's one of the most beautiful sights, right? Because he's mounting up. It's like the air just lifts him up so fast and so high. He just soars way, 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 way high. And that's what we can have when we rest in communion with God. We can mount up with wings as eagles, where we're elevated. There's a vigor, a purpose. You know, the eagle doesn't just go, oh, okay, here we go. When they fly, you know. And so the mounting up, I just picture it as soaring above the problem, you know. That the rest, when we're truly resting and knowing that God has the answer for us and deliverance is coming, that we can trust him because he never gets tired, ever. So we can rest in him. Then we will actually soar, no matter how physically what you feel like. And then if we have to run, we'll be able to run. If there's meetings day after day, you go from one thing to the next thing to the next thing to the next thing to the next thing, and you go, okay. But we can run and not be weary. And we, if it's time for walking, because walking's a lot easier than running, right? We still can just walk and walk and walk and walk, and we won't faint. We won't want to give up. It will, there's a strengthening that happens in the rest. So look over at Psalm 62. There's lots of beautiful passages that are promises that we can hold in our hearts, and these really actually are just a few verses that you can look at about this whole subject. But Psalm 62, verse 5, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved, right? But the reason we're not moved is because in God is my salvation or my deliverance and my glory. And my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times. How many times? Oh, I think we read that before, right? At all times, ye people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. That's what God wants, is he wants us to pour out our hearts before him and lay that weariness down in and have it be strengthened in fellowship with him. So that's really the last key, is to find the strength in every situation. And in order to do that, sometimes you have to stand on the promises, right? You take a promise like 2 Corinthians 9:8. Let's read that. 2 Corinthians 9:8. But God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in every things, may abound to every good work. All, at all times. Grace is there. So if we need grace, guess what? You have to stand on the promises. But now look over at Philippians chapter 4. This is a verse that, we use a lot of times to talk about how I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And sometimes I think that the emphasis has been, all the way that we use it or we say it to ourselves is about I can do, right? Sorry, I can't do. I can't. I don't know about you, but, you know, you can do for a while, and then you get to a point where you can't do it anymore. You don't have the strength. And it's at that point where we're weak, then actually we are made strong. And that's why I love the Aramaic translation of Philippians 4:13, because it says, I find strength for everything in Christ who strengthens me. In every situation, no matter what it is, no matter how weary I feel, no matter how much I'm tempted to faint and try to figure it all out by myself, I can find the strength because I've gone through this process where I laid it down and I'm resting in what God has. He has the answer. He will deliver. So on the back of your page, there's words to a song that I have really been blessed by. And I wanted to close with this. It's a song that Selah sings, and it's called You Deliver Me. And the chorus goes, when I feel like I can't go on, you deliver me. When the road is winding and the way too long, you deliver me. That's what we can't take our eyes off of, that God is the everlasting strength. He is the rock. He will deliver if we faint not. So let's listen to the song, and you can read along on with the words.
Nazarene, this powerful emotion lifts me up above the plane. It's taking me to places I never thought I'd go, showing me a grace I never thought I'd know. When I feel like I can't go on, you deliver me. And when the road is winding way too long, you deliver me. You deliver. Like a sinner whose sins have been washed clean, an absolute beginner whose heart has never seen. I must be forgiven, sometimes asking why I was chosen to be given.
And you have poured that out on us so many, many, many times, and for that we are grateful. We are so grateful to be able to be called your children, to be able to come to you, to pour out our hearts to you, to know that you always hear us, you always answer, you always listen, and you take our hand and walk with us each and every day. Thank you that in every single person's life, Father, whatever deliverance they need, that this coming week they will see the answers, they will go forward, we will be able to boast in our infirmities to you and with each other, and to cry out that we have a need, and to know that because you are a God of just such love and power in our lives, that you want to help us and that you do deliver us. You do show us a grace that we never thought we would know, and our hearts are just full with thanksgiving and love and praise to you for that and for all that you have given to us. I thank you for these things in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.